Blog Talk Radio.
Want your clothes to smell freshly washed all day without heavy perfumes? Now they can, with Downy Light In-Wash Freshness Boosters. Just pour a capful of these into your washing machine before each load to give your laundry a light scent that lasts longer than detergent alone, with no heavy perfumes or dyes. Finally, a light scent that lasts all day. Downy Light, available in 4 naturally inspired scents.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
I found a love for me. Darling, just dive right in, follow my lead. I found a girl, beautiful and sweet. I never knew you were the someone waiting for me. Kids when we fell in love, not knowing what it was. I will not give you up this time, darling, just kiss me slow. Your heart is all I own, and in your eyes you're holding mine. Baby,
carry children of our own. We are still kids.
Hello and good evening. We are on air live from Lagos. This is a product of WBNN Gem segment, and I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp. On air live from Lagos, dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. For those of you that are online and you may have T-Mobile, you can listen by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Ngozi Time. Tonight, our theme is relationships, the art of relationships, the ins, the outs, and all betweens, but good, sweet savoriness. And I have two amazing panelists. The first one is John Metz, and then the second one is a powerhouse couple, Jason and Tina Marie. But let me tell you a little bit about each one of the panelists. John Metz, also known as John Metzger, is a small business owner in a suburb of Detroit, Michigan, where he lives with his wife of 25 years. He's the host of the Bright Side of the Hump podcast, and his tagline is the Curious Conversationalist. Jason and Tina Marie are the hosts of the weekly podcast, Loving Beyond the I Do. Jason and Tina are committed to building stronger marriages mentally, physically, financially, and spiritually. And their tagline is taking marriages off cruise control. So I first want my guests to come on and introduce themselves to our 22 million plus listeners. Welcome, John and Jason and Tina.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. John, welcome in. Thank you so much for sharing and holding space with us tonight.
I'm looking forward to it. It's an honor to be with all three of you. This will be a good time.
Yes. So let's dive in. So tonight, it's so important that we talk about relationships because we know relationships can affect us all, whether they're marriages, whether they're relationships that we have with our children, our peers, our coworkers, and et cetera. But on tonight, we have some people that are in marriages for a long period of time. Y'all are so much further along than I am. I'm only eight years in, but looking forward to hitting those significant milestones. So, John, I want to start with you first. So you and your wife have been married for 25 years. So what is one staple that keeps y'all going and builds the momentum?
Laughter. We have a wedding picture in our house, and it's from our wedding night where we're both sitting, you know, at the head table. And you can only see the back of my head, and you can see the front of my wife's beautiful face and a giant smile because I must be saying something funny to her. Now, it's great that you're only seeing the back of my head in the picture. That's probably the best part of my head. And then it's great to see my wife's beautiful face. But what it symbolizes has been a foundational thing for us to be able to laugh together. A marriage is going to go through ups and downs. And being able to find the moments to be joyous and laugh, to find the moments where you're laughing out of exhaustion, to find the moments where you're laughing so you don't cry, has been a staple for us.
I love that, and I've definitely see that laughter is definitely good for the soul, and just being able to laugh with the one that you said I do is just amazing. And Jason and Tina, since y'all have been married for quite some time, I'm not sure the exact number, so share with the audience how long y'all have been married.
32 this year.
Oh, wow.
We've been 32 years. And it's funny that he mentions the wedding because after we said our I do's, everyone at the reception was like, oh, we had our tissue ready to cry. And our wedding was so funny. Like, no one cried because it was sentimental. That's just how we are. We enjoy, like, just I don't know, having fun. And,
yeah.
And our wedding was no different. But the importance of growing together, learning together, struggling together, elevating together has all been an amazing journey, and it's not over yet. And we laugh each and every day, and every time he makes me laugh, because Jason is truly a comedian. Sometimes I tell him he should, you know, do that as a full-time gig.
So that means I can quit my job?
Not yet. So I tell him all the time how funny he is, and every time he makes me laugh, it's just laughter truly is a healer. Right? It bonds you. It connects you. It deepens your relationship with each other. It's so much more than just a laugh.
I have to agree. I concur.
So what do you say about marriage?
I think for us, it was just supporting each other in our individual endeavors and also in our marriage. So early on when we got married, I wanted to start a business. And my wife said, well, just quit your job. I said, okay. So I was like, okay, great. So this is wonderful. So that kind of like started. I'm like, oh, you trust me. So you got trust. You have support. So just a number of different things that was all built into that one statement when she just told me, just leave your job and go ahead and follow your dream. So I'll say support for now and also just support and just being there for your mate.
I love that. So I heard support is important to you, Jason, being there for your mate. And then, Tina, I heard you say laughter. So that's a commonality with John and his wife, laughter. And my next question I'm going to ask John here. John, your tagline is the curious conversationalist. So what do you mean by the curious conversationalist? And is it deeper than just the tagline?
I think, yeah, it's deeper than the tagline. I think the strength that I have that I've learned over time is to listen. And I take a genuine interest in every person I meet. It doesn't matter whether it's a chance temporary encounter of someone that I might never see again. I always try to take interest in who they are, what they're about, and I do that by listening and paying attention to the verbal and nonverbal cues that they give. And, you know, if they're willing to participate in a conversation, I love to ask questions and hear responses. And I think that what it's been beneficial to me in my life is just being a good listener is helpful in any kind of relationship that you're going to be involved in. I won't say that it's the absolute most important thing, but being a good listener makes you a pretty good partner in most situations. So, but you also have to be willing to carry your part of the conversation. You can't merely glide off everyone else's information. You know, you want to ask questions and listen, but you also, when it's your time to tell your story, you want to be able to do that as best you can too. So that's kind of what the curious conversationalist is referring to. Great question.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and thank you for explaining it, because I truly believe that it was just deeper than just a tagline. And whenever you think about a conversation, it is two-way, and whenever a conversation becomes one-sided, it's not really a conversation. So the fact that you're a curious conversationalist, it's like you're curious about various things, and you're conversing with that person, and then whenever you put it into marriage, just making sure you listening is important too, listening and hearing as well. So thank you for going beyond that and just really explaining what you meant behind that tagline. And I'm going to hit it here with Jason and Tina. So their tagline was taking marriages off of cruise control. And I love that, because I feel like, I'll say the pandemic, or some people say the plandemic, a lot of marriages, you know, suffered during the pandemic. And then there were some marriages that thrived during the pandemic. So can you talk about why your tagline is taking marriages off cruise control? And Tina, I want you to start first, and then I want to hear from Jason afterwards.
line is you get
hold on, guys.
You fall
hold
in
on.
Love,
hey,
you get married.
Hey,
and then,
Hey Tina, how you doing? This is the producer Ola Dell and Lane Joseph. Your line, guys, is chopping in and out pretty, pretty bad. So are you on guys on you guys on speakerphone?
No, we're not. We're actually on mics. We're on two different mics. We're going through our roll catchers.
Yeah, that's what's going on. It's bad. So
you want us to go
let's
on?
Try to get, just go on speakerphone. Find it. You go together in your room and come on speakerphone so we can hear you guys clearly. Because you know we want to have everybody that's listening
okay.
around the world. We don't want you choppy. All right, Genesis, go ahead and continue to talk as they try
okay.
to fix the electronic technicians.
Okay, thank you so much, producer Brother O, for getting us straight. So I'm going to jump over to you, John, while Jason and Tina are fixing their line. So, John, I want to ask you this question here. So you think about 25 years that you and your beautiful wife have been together, and I'm sure there's going to be ups and downs, and there has been, and correct me if I'm wrong. What was the hardest thing that you endured in marriage, and how has it made you stronger as a husband and also as a person?
Boy, the hardest thing that we've had to endure, I believe, has been this time period in over the last 2 or 3 years. Influence of things. COVID-19 combined with Sarah losing her mom after a long battle with cancer, and us both getting COVID, and I was going through a thing professionally, like a transition a little bit. And just so many things kind of came together all at once. And our kids were also leaving the nest. And, you know, it's a heavy-duty impact. You've been, you know, your marriage is your marriage. When you have kids, you become joint parents also, and that's a big part of your life. And our kids were graduating from college and moving out, and it's just her and I in this big old house. And so I think that's definitely the most challenging time. So I wouldn't pick a specific date, but it has been kind of a confluence of things coming together in the last 3 years. And that's when you have to lean back on, sure, as I mentioned before, the trust that we have for each other, the fidelity that we have to each other. And then also just recognizing it as a partnership and being willing to lean on your partner when you need to. I think that, you know, especially when her mom passed away, I think that she really wanted to tough it out as much as she could. And I think that, you know, like there's a toll that can take on you. It also, she happened to be the principal of a school, and it was, you know, going through COVID at the time, being a principal and losing her mom, like there were so many things going on. And I don't think she wanted to lean on me as much as she could. And then I was going through some stuff also where maybe she didn't feel like she could lean on me, but that's exactly what you have to do. It's a partnership, and neither of you are going to be as good if you can't, you know when you've got to lean on your partner and, you know, have them lift you up a little bit. So, that's how we've gotten through it, and we've come out the other side, and, you know, we're better and stronger for it. And, you know, but it wasn't simple all the way through the process.
And thank you for sharing that, because I feel like sometimes when people see that people have been together for a long period of time, or they may see you always laughing and smiling, they're not in the know of like what's going on behind closed doors, and they just think like, oh man, they have an awesome marriage, everything is prim and rosies and et cetera, when in actuality there has been some bumps and bruises in the way, but those bumps and bruises have actually built character with both of you as an individual, as well as character in the relationship. And it helps you know, okay, if we can make it through that hard season, that trial and that tribulation, we're so strong and we're resilient, we can make it through whenever another turmoil comes up. So I love that you share that, because I feel like we have to be willing to talk about some of the hard things as well as the easy things. So those people who are like me and they're new to marriage, you know, they could have something to like look forward to, because I don't know not one marriage person, one married person that has said, oh yeah, we've never had problems and it's just been hunky-dory. And so that's why I asked that question. So thank you so much for just sharing that about, you know, y'all becoming empty nesters, going through the pandemic, both of you dealing with things, losing family members and et cetera. All of those things can, you know, weigh in on a marriage, whether you want it to or not. So I really do appreciate the transparency there, John. And I hope I didn't take anything out of context and I heard you correctly.
Oh, you did. You got it. I appreciate that. I think that well, it's a great question too. And as you said, things are not always smooth. I try to talk to younger people, you know, like tough times make tough people. And it's good to have a little bit of that to sustain you when those times come.
Yes, 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 and yes. And for anyone that doesn't believe it, I call BS. And for those of you, I'm saying BS because that's my, you know, Christian hat. But then for those of you that are still in the street and not all the way there, I call bullshit on that. Now, let's go back to Jason and Tina. Are y'all back with us? The
take I am back is with you. Is this, yes, is this better?
It's a little better. It still sounds choppy. So I don't know if it's the Wi-Fi connection or what, but I can hear you better and clearer. We just need to make sure we maintain the integrity since it's a worldwide syndicated, and I want the audience to pick up what you guys are laying down because the content is so juicy tonight.
Okay. So I hope this is clearer. If not, please let me know and then we can try something else. But we were talking about our tagline, taking marriages off of cruise control. Okay. So are
hold
we
on one
still
second,
choppy
Tina. It,
guys...
it just went choppy again.
Okay,
all right, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do, guys. I'm going to attract. All right, so we get that thing fixed. Thank you so much, Jennifer Mars Kemp and Tom and Jason Emery and Track Man.
Goes my heart beating, 'cause you are the reason I'm losing my sleep. Please come back now. And there goes my mind racing, and you are the reason that I'm still breathing. I'm whole. I'd climb every mountain and swim every ocean just to be with you, fix what I've broken. Oh, 'cause I need you to see you are the reason. Shape, and you are the reason swim every ocean just to be with you and fix what I've broken. 'Cause I need you to see that you are the reason.
Wow, the lyrics on that song was so powerful, y'all. And the reason why that song was picked tonight by me is because I truly believe there are reasons why we do what we do, and there's a reason why we fell in love with our spouse, our partner, and et cetera. And that song was by Calum Scott, You Are the Reason. And for those of you that may have just tuned in tonight, I am Genesis Amaris Kemp. I'm the host of the night. This is a WBNN product, and we are live on the air from Lagos. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. There's over 22 million people listening in. And put your hands together for the panelists tonight. I have John Metz, and I also have a couple, Jason and Tina Marie, who I hope their line will be clear so you can hear their content, but if not, we'll deal with it. So we're going to jump back in, and Jason and Tina Marie are supposed to be taking marriages off cruise control, which is their tagline, and they're also the host of a weekly podcast called Loving Beyond the I Do. And my other panelist is John Met. He has the tagline Curious Conversationalist. And he's also the host of his show, Bright Side of the Hump. And then me, I'm Gems, and I believe in sharing gems with a whole bunch of y'all tonight because you are the reason why I do what I do. So let's just jump back in here. Jason and Tina, are y'all back with us tonight? If not,
I am back. Is this better?
I am too.
Let's hope.
Yes,
I hope
that
we
is
are not
much
choppy.
Yes, that
yes,
is much better.
All right. We have some gems to drop, and we don't want anyone to miss them tonight. So we hope that we are coming in loud and clear.
Yes, and let's keep it that way, y'all. So let's get the marriages off of cruise control. So we're going to make sure we maintain the integrity. So I'm going to start with you first, Tina, and then Jason will follow up with the commentary after you. So why do you feel like marriages should be taken off of cruise control, and what does your tagline mean to you?
So what happens is that we don't even know that our marriages are on cruise control. Most people believe that this is what marriage is. So we're, you know, when we watch the movie from a young age, we see that two people meet, they fall in love, and the next thing is they get married. And then we see, and they lived happily ever after, right? The end. No one tells us what happens next after marriage. So no one really knows what to expect going in. So we think that because the dating part, the courting part was so easy, right? It was so organic that we fell in love and we, you know, got to know each other on a deeper basis, that our marriage is going to be the same. It's going to be just that easy. And we don't know that somewhere along the lines, when we have to really be committed to one another, committed to the relationship, committed to, you know, outside forces like our jobs or our children or, you know, the community, that that really takes a toll on our marriage. And we learn to not even be aware that we're creating a marriage where we're not in tune with one another. We're not communicating on the same lines. We're not in touch. We're not intimate anymore. And we don't even realize it. We just kind of push the button and say, well, this is what marriage is, so now it's going to evolve. But we don't realize we have to put in the work to make it evolve to what we want it to be. So many marriages get kind of at a point where we're comfortable, we're relaxed, or we are accepting the relationship that has taken place not intentionally. And so we kind of get comfortable and lackadaisical, or, you know, we don't realize that it really takes commitment to continue to date each other,
continue to have that intimacy and that great connection that we had in the beginning. It takes a lot of intentionality to make sure that we are living happily ever after. And when we bring this attention to couples, they go, wow, I never looked at it that way. We kind of really did push the cruise control because we're not driving our marriage. Life is kind of driving us. So we have to make sure that we stay in the driver's seat to get the results in our marriages that we want. We have to work at commitment. We have to work at support. We have to work at communication. We have to work at just making sure that we are constantly in tune and in touch with our mate. And it takes a lot when there's so many things that grab our attention that we don't even realize. So that's kind of how we came up with the tagline, taking marriages off cruise control.
I love that. I love that. I absolutely love that because sometimes we can get so caught in doing the mundane routine and we feel like everything is fine in our marriage whenever the other partner may feel like, no, everything is not fine. I need some attention. I don't feel seen. I don't feel heard. And there may be breakdowns in communication. There may be a breakdown in the love language. There may be a breakdown in the relationship as a whole, especially when you start to introduce children into your relationship and then you begin to make your children a priority, not realizing those children are going to be gone after 18 years and some maybe even before that if they graduate high school early and start college. And you wrapped up your identity and your children and you forgot to love your spouse. So same question for you here, Jason. Whenever you think of your tagline, taking marriages off of cruise control, what is the dominant part of importance for you here?
Well, the most important part for me is understanding what marriage really is. Because all I know that I was just going to get married. And then after we said I do, I was kind of sitting around going, okay, what's next? It's not, I didn't know much of anything else. So I only had to fall back on what either I saw or maybe I picked up somewhere along the way. So after a while, you just fall into these roles, whether you want to or not. So I said, okay, well, we're going to get married. Eventually, we'll have some kids. We'll buy a house, right? That's the cruise control. I'm just doing what everybody else does. Hey, they look like they're having fun. Well, maybe I'll emulate my marriage after them. So after a while, you know, like you said, you're in the relationship. Things are going well. You have some kids. And then the marriage just moves along. Somewhere along the line, one, you're not dating. Two, you're not communicating. But I always like to say we're not effectively communicating because we're always communicating. Now, we may not be speaking to each other's love language, but we're definitely communicating. So we have to find a way to communicate effectively between the two of us. So I said, okay, this is not working because I don't know where this marriage is really going. So I need to actively understand my needs and also Tina's needs. So once I started to study and understand that my way of communicating wasn't maybe always the best because it was just me. So when I felt like I didn't want to do anything, then I don't want to do it. So if I don't want to do it, I feel like I have the right to not do it, not taking into account how my wife feels. And that can create problems. Do that when I was single. Again, now you're bringing in two people. So I had to learn. I need to communicate that. I don't want to do this because of this. Or I'll be willing to do that. I'll be willing to do that if I could just learn and understand how she really operates. And that's what I had to do. I had to take it really off of me and understand what are you looking at? What are you seeing? How are you feeling when I say these things? So that's how I started to take the marriage off of cruise control and get into the driver's seat because I started to take into consideration how Tina really felt. And my marriage got so much better because it wasn't about me. We were able to talk and effectively communicate with one another. So in the scheme of things,
I'm glad I did. I'm glad that I didn't think that I'm the man and things are supposed to go my way. I said, no, we're in this together. I want to make sure that I make you happy and we're happy together. And that's what I was able to do just by one, reading, studying, because we wasn't taught about marriage, right? So studying and reading, and in doing so, my relationship got better. Now, we had a good relationship, but then kids come along, right? And that's a different dynamic. So as your relationship goes through these different ebbs and flows, I need to also be able to weave in everything in the relationship to make it better.
Beautifully said, and thank you so much for sharing your viewpoint. And the reason why I asked each one of you to share, Jason and Tina, is because the way that Tina views it may be different than how you view it, and then together y'all have your own view together and collectively. So I appreciate both of y'all sharing that. John, I want to ask you a question here. So you and your wife have been together 25 years, and you have some children. Was there anything fun and risky that you did early on in your marriage that, you know, brought the spice that you would love to do now if you stopped doing it?
That's been so long ago, Jennifer. I'll tell you. Well, all right. So this might, you know, we got married. And we said, like, we had a whole idea of how it was all going to work. We said that we would not have any kids for at least 3 years. Actually, we wouldn't even start trying to have kids until we were married 3 years. And on our third anniversary, we had two babies in diapers. So I guess it must have been a little bit spicy or something, because, you know, we jumped the gun by a long time. But yeah, I think that we did not have a lot of time by ourselves. We were married in July of 1998. Yeah, because we'll have our 25th here in July. We were married in July of 1998, and our daughter was born in March of 2000, and our son was born in July of 2001. So we didn't have a ton of time early on in our marriage with just us. So to your maybe larger point, we now are back where we were when we started. And so, yeah, there's some freedom to that. And, you know, I'll just have to keep you posted on what we come up with.
I love that. And I love that you chuckled and you thought about the question and you're like, hey, we actually had two diapers. But the good thing is, because I see both sides of it, because my husband and I just had a baby 8 months ago, and, you know, we started later in life compared to some of our friends who have kids younger, and now, you know, their kids are self-sufficient ages, and they could do more stuff, and we're like, oh, well, you got to find a babysitter, or I got to ask my mom, or whatnot. So I see both sides of it, and I'm glad that you chuckled there, the sense of humor, because it's so real. So Jason and Tina, I'm going to hit y'all with the same question here and not, you know, literally hit y'all. So was there anything spicy or womp, womp, womp that you guys did early on in your marriage that you have stopped doing, but you need to rekindle the flames and the spark?
No, I think We continue the sparks, all the spicy and the sparks that we started with. We had 2 long years together before we started a family. It was going on 3 years before we had our first child, and we truly enjoyed each other. And one of our biggest things now is that we continue the romance. And when we became empty nesters, oh my God, it was the best thing since sliced bread. So we had a lot of people saying, you know, who had lost their identity and their kids. And when they left for college, a lot of our friends were like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. And it's because you guys didn't remain attached during that time. So I'm glad to say that the spice that started is still spicy. It's revved and red hot.
Keep that spice going, y'all. Okay. Oh, that gives me hope, and I'm in my early 30s. My husband, he's a season one because he's older than me. So we're going to go on that note to keep everything hot and spicy. We're going to go to the track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey enshrinee, Honey Bee Olasky.
Every now and then I get a little lost. My strings all get tangled, my wires all get crossed. Every now and then I'm right upon the edge, dangling my toes out over the ledge. I just thank God you're here. When I'm a bullet shot out of a gun, 'cause when I'm a firecracker coming undone, when I'm a fugitive ready to run, all wild-eyed and crazy, no matter where my reckless soul takes me, baby, you save me. Hard loving a man, got a gypsy soul. I don't know how you do it, I'm not sure how you know. A perfect thing to save me from myself. You're the angel that believes in me like nobody else, and I thank God you do. When I'm a bullet shot out of a gun, when I'm a firecracker coming undone, when I'm a fugitive ready to run, all wild-eyed and crazy, no matter where my
people tonight. I want you to look at your spouse, your partner, your boo, your bae, and see how they have saved you, how they have been the creme de la creme for you, how they have been your Boaz, how they have been your rock, how they have been your soldier in your time of need. And I want you to let them know that they have saved you just like you have saved them, and rock with us tonight. And panelists, I want you to feel the vibes and come in hot because we into this topic tonight. So, Jason, I want to hear from you. So I want you to tell us how that song spoke to you. How has Tina saved you?
Listen, I was listening to that, and I was just reminiscing back and kind of going off the last segment when you talk about empty nesters. I call it getting my life back. When we did all our things, raised the children, did all of that. But when it came time for us to come back together, just us, oh, my goodness. It was just as powerful as it was some odd years ago, right? Intimacy was better. Being together meant even more. The time, we got to travel. We were doing the things as if we were in our early 20s when we first got together. That's what life is all about. It's like, we paused to raise the children, and we enjoyed that phase of our lives and everything. But when it came time to us coming back, it was like we picked right back up as if we were dating again. And the love and you know, every time I look at it, I feel like I'm that 22-year-old kid that when we first met and we first got married. It is just something special in this season and being together.
Oh, I love that. And John, I know you're a comedian and you and I can laugh for hours. Whenever I played that song, I don't know why, like I'm an old soul, y'all, I thought about the song, "Let's Get It On, Baby." I don't know all the lyrics, but y'all know that song. If you know it, you can sing a little stanza with me. So, John.
Yes. Little Marvin Gaye.
Let's get
it. Yeah, don't get me started, boy. It don't take much. Boy, it's a lot of fire between me and Tina, I tell you.
So, John, I'm going to ask you this question. When the mood is nice and you and your wife, you think about the name, the game, the cries, the boo-hoo. The days where you're like, ooh, if she just doesn't get out of my face, or however you say it in the John voice, what's that one song where you could be like, oh, my gosh, my wife is on fire, and this is why I married her? What's that song? Is it a Let's Get It On, or is it Baby?
Okay, so this will, you know, put us in our proper age range. The song that we did for our dance at our wedding was Tenderoni by Bobby Brown. And so that's the one, I think. You know, I think that's about as good as I can do for, you know, setting me right back in that moment. Kids, absolutely out of their minds, in love with each other. And, you know, just pure in the moment stuff. That's it. I know that's kind of boring. That's, you know, you can't compete with Marvin Gaye, but, you know, Bobby did really good with that one. So I'll stick with it. I'm fine with that.
Oh, I love having these fun questions. Thank you so much, John, for saying that. I'll put you on the spot. So for those of you that may be a young tenderoni like me, sing one little stanza of that song, John, because I don't know that song. Wink,
oh,
wink.
Lord, you can't make me sing. Goodness gracious, that'll send people away in droves. Oh, you remember the we were worried about some of the sound earlier. That would just throw it all. You know, let's
Come
see.
On, John,
I can
your
speak.
Wedding.
Do you want me to just speak the lyrics, because that's as good as you're going to get from me. I'm not.
You know what?
We want you to pretend that your wife is on the other line listening. Let's hear what you have, John.
I've got nothing singing it. I let Bobby do the singing. I let Bobby do the singing. But, you know.
Oh, man. Okay.
Here's a lyric from it. If you believe in love and all that it can do for you, give it a chance. You'll find romance. If you can find a Tenoroni who is right for you, make it official. Give her your love.
Okay. Oh, I love that. Okay, so I love that, John. And on that note, John, Jason, and Tina, we have our first caller of the night. So caller one, you're on air live with Genesis Amaris Kemp, Meet the Phenomenal Host, and my three panelists, John Metz, Tina, and Jason. Who are you and where are you calling in from?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully Side of Philadelphia, where if you don't like fighting and you a psychopath, we're going to send you over to Walt Whitman to learn how to perform violent acts on people while you're being nice to them. You know what I mean? That's the class near Atlantic City. And Tiana speaks as the instructor. Yeah, but how you doing tonight? You know what I'm saying? Everyone sounds wonderful. The couple, Jason and Marie and John, you know what I'm saying? Good to hear you. Real quick before I get started, all your guests, the photos for the promo, you know what I'm saying? These look like album covers. I just want to let y'all know that before I get started. But I want to say this real quick, because y'all seen Stanley Roper. Y'all seen Al Bundy. Yeah, I mean, I even been Fred G. Sanford before he had to go join Elizabeth. You hear what I'm saying to you? Y'all must say see all in the family. You know Archie Bunker and all that. But what I'm going to say to this, you don't want to, people that marry people, you don't want to occupy yourself with taskful mandations. You know what I mean? Like getting joint bank accounts, making it seem like you're Wolf of Wall Street once you marry your wife and all that. Now, you can't do all that. Wives neither. You see what I'm saying? Then, two, you can't be paying attention to other people's situations. You know, they be frauding out here. Everybody saw Tyler Perry movies. So, you know, they know how to act in public. You know what I mean? So, boom. And then three, you got to know how to seek peace. You feel what I'm saying? If you can't be peaceful with your spouse, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'll never find it. I don't care how much money y'all making, how many cars you got, where y'all live at, you know what I'm saying? Whatever that is that you're seeking for, to think that you're stable out here. But if you're not peaceful about it, then that's worthless. And then last but not least. Last but not least, because I'm almost done here. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's four reasons to marry an individual, man or woman. You know what I'm saying? You can marry a woman. A man who want to extend his hand to a woman, he should marry her. You have four reasons. You can marry her for her beauty, her wealth, her lineage, or her religion. Where if she's a God-fearing woman, that's the one you want to marry. You want to be, if you're a pious man and you're trying to get a strive to be pious woman on your side, that's the route you got to do. And by the way, you got to listen to some Jodeci or some King Sweat. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully Side of Philadelphia, where you might wind up on the Discovery Channel for choking your wife with no hands, like Darth Vader, for throwing your Ralph Lauren in the trash. Check your satellites.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you for calling me. So one thing that I want to comment on that Clever One said, so I believe, like, with the bank account, two become one flesh. So whenever you become married, there's nothing wrong with combining your incomes with one another because you're both living under the same house and the same roof. So if you put all your money in the cookie jar, then you should have the visibility and the transparency to know what's going out. And then if you each want to have like your own account for something else, like maybe for, you know, petty cash or et cetera, like for us women, we like to have manis and petties, our petty massages or whatever, or, you know, husbands, they want to do their haircut or maybe their fun activities that they do with their guys. Yeah, that's fine. But the chunk of it, like mortgage, car notes, or any big ticket items or anything like that, I do believe when you say I do, to become one flesh. And for those of you that are religious, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, that's something to be mindful of. And then whenever you are marrying that individual, you marry that person for a lifetime, and you think about, why did I marry this individual? And whenever
the turmoil comes, you remind yourself, these are the vows that I took, and this is what I need to, you know, work on. And if there's, if it's a hard situation where you feel like neither party is being seen and heard, then it is okay for you to bring in a mediator, seek therapy and counseling with a paid and trained professional that is unbiased, that you both feel comfortable, and you're going in and sharing all of that information with the hopes of coming to a resolution where you're putting the, you're putting down what was broken and you're making it whole again so you could get back on track. So panelists, do either one of y'all want to comment on, you know, my commentary there as far as, you know, finances or, you know, bringing in a mediator to the relationship? I guess I'll start with John.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So, I'm kind of jumping at the bit.
So Clever One, the first thing I would say, I loved his point three about keeping the peace with your spouse. Absolutely. I thought that was right on point. In terms of what you were talking about, like with finances, there are so many different ways that couples go about it and can be successful. I will tell you that for us, we always just did one pot. And there was income disparity between the two of us. My wife's an educator and I was a business owner. And so there was some income disparity, but we put it all together and we never looked back. I totally understand. I mean, I've had employees and other friends who keep it all completely separate, right? They have, you know, my paycheck goes in my thing and I take care of this. I know of couples who literally split the mortgage payment halfway down the middle and do all of that. I'm not one to judge on those sorts of things because everyone has to figure out what's going to work for them. For us, it was always just like, listen, we're in for a penny, in for a pound. So it's all going in one pot. And you know, for better or worse, you know, it's equal. And that's kind of how we did it. But to each their own.
I love that. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, John. Now, this is what sent me down the road of really trying to figure out how to make my marriage succeed. I just said I do. Even lying. Someone walks up to me as they're greeting us and says, you get a bank account for you, and she get a bank account for herself, but don't put your money together. That's what I was told on the day that I got married. And I said, that doesn't seem right to me. So for the next however many years, I was taking a survey. Hey, you know, as a couple, do you guys put your money together? Majority of the people said they don't put their money together because, for lack of a better word, they didn't trust them. Oh, I can't put my money with them. And I said, that's interesting. So you don't trust them with your money, but you guys want to prosper in your marriage with money. And I said, well, you know what? I trust my wife. We put the money in the till, and everyone has open access to get whatever, you know, big purchases. Yes, we need to have a conversation about. But for everything else, it wasn't, this is my money, this is her money. This is our money, and we spend it as we see fit. And that worked out well for us, just like John. But I find out that we're the minority. And I've been doing this again for, I've been asking this question for at least 15 years. Majority of everyone that I've surveyed are using separate bank accounts, and it's for various different reasons. And I just found it to be shocking. I just thought that everybody would come together. But no, but whatever works with you and your relationship works. And that's the most important. When Clever One said that, it just brought that instance back to me on my wedding day when someone told me that that's how I needed to run my marriage. But you have to find out what really works for you.
I love that, and thank you for sharing that commentary, Jason. So you and John both brought up very good points. You really have to find out what works for you and your marriage and your household as a whole. And there is this rap song And for those of you that are millennials, you'll know it. It says, I make my own money and I spend it how I like. I ain't got no type, something, something, something. And I feel like modern day couples, they feel like, okay, if sometimes some of the women are making more than the men now, and women are in the workforce, so they're like, I don't want someone dictating how I could spend my money. But then you have to think about it this way. If the shoe was on the other foot, how would you feel if, you know, if the roles were reversed or whatnot? And you have to think about, like, all aspects of a relationship, because if you have that viewpoint on money there, where else is your viewpoint where it's one-sided and you feel like you have control over a certain area? So there's a lot of things to think about with that aspect of there, and I just wanted to bring that up to the forefront. Yes.
Yes, I would like to make a comment on that. Yes, I would like to make a comment. So Jason and I do a lot of we're also couple coaching. You know, we coach couples. And what we found is that every marriage is unique. There's no one-size-fits-all. There's no right or wrong. It's, you know, everyone has different values. And whatever makes the marriage work, we tell them to work it. People, you know, the ideal is to have your money together, because it does stem from a lack of trust. It could be, you know, what you saw with your parents, what you saw growing up, things that other adults may have experienced, and then, you know, tainted you and your thinking as you're going into marriage, right, as Jason stated. So each marriage is different. Or it could be sometimes it doesn't work when two people put their money together, because maybe one person is a little bit more of a saver than the other. Or, you know, it could be vice versa. It could be a number of things why people, you know, keep their money separate, or they have separate bank accounts and they have one joint one. So what we've learned over the years of coaching people, now Jason and I, you know, we were all in from day one. His money is my money is your money, and we're all one. There's no split, you know, there's no this is yours, this is mine, you know, because to me that shows that if we're going to build a life together, when we say I do, our intention is to be I do for forever, right? It's not just today. It's not next month. It's not, well, possibly down the road we may separate, and how will it end up? Our ideas going in, even young, were we're committed to one another. We're committed to this marriage. So we have one bank account between both of us, right? But some people have to do what works for them. So what we, you know, what I would suggest to all couples is that everybody's situation is different. Everybody's marriage is unique. So I would recommend that it's not a have separate or have together. It's what works for you. Sometimes we can have separate. Sometimes we can have together and a separate. Like it all depends on the people, the marriage, and what's behind it. What's your background? What, you know, or who's stronger in taking care of the finances? So there's so many variables that goes into a marriage besides just the bottom line of how are we going to do our money. So I just wanted to make that statement.
Okay, and thank you so much, Tina, for making that statement. And we're going to jump into our song break. So we're going to play our track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame, this jockey enshrinee, Honey Bee Olasky.
Not again. This ain't supposed to happen to me.
Keep rocking, I keep knocking. Whether you Louboutin it up or Reebokin, you see the hate that they serving on a platter. So what we gon' have, dessert or disaster?
I never thought I'd be in love like this. When I look at you, my mind goes on a trip. Then you came in. Yeah.
By Carrie Hilson, Love Knocks You Down. And for those of you that are just joining in with us tonight, you can have your voice heard right here by dialing in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. This is a WBNN product, and we are live on air from Lagos. I'm your host, Genesis Amaris-Kemp, and my fabulous panelists tonight are John Metz, Jason, and Tina Marie. So we are back on air now, and we have our second caller of the night in queue. Caller 2, please state your name and where you're tuning in from.
Hi, Genesis. It's Ava Holly calling from Atlantic City, New Jersey. How are you?
I am doing well, Ava, and thank you so much for calling in and supporting tonight. So my question for you is, what is your relationship advice for the people tonight?
Well,
or do you
I
have
just
a question
love...
for the guests?
Well, first of all, I love your guests. Very knowledgeable and very sincere. I can just hear it oozing out of all of them. And I think it's a great, great topic. My take, I just want to share my story with you, is that there is a different dynamic. Like you said yourself, you didn't recognize a song because you were younger. I met my husband that is actually the love of my life when I was 39. My daughter was already 6 years old. He comes from a marriage with three children that I have never met, that his parents have only met when they were infants, and now his father is gone. So there's a different dynamic when you come to a relationship later in life. And we met on the internet, and we met in the funniest way on the internet. And our wedding song was Queen's Find Somebody to Love. And only the first part of that is enough where you could kind of snuggle up and dance a little bit. So we thought when it got into the parts where it wasn't so slow dancy that we would go grab people out of the audience and bring them up on the stage. And that's what we did. And it was so much fun. So I just wanted to share that there's such a different dynamic, both financially, both, you know, emotionally, both the things that went through our relationship. I mean, our marriages prior to when we met, you know, one marriage made the other look like a walk in the park, or one divorce made the other look like a walk in the park, I should say. You know, you get to a place of a different maturity. You get to a place of a different understanding when you meet later in life. And I'm sure your couple that does the coaching, the couples coaching, has seen it all. So I just want to thank you for this topic tonight because it's really interesting. And when I was in hold, I texted my husband, who's out driving tonight for us to make ends meet, that how much I loved him and how much, you know, we're looking for the next chapter in our life. We're looking to change our lives right now, and there's a lot going on. But, you know, the things that you go through when you grow together are different when you meet later in life, is what I'm trying to say. So all good, great stuff tonight. Thank you guys for having me on, and I love your topic.
Thank you so much, Ava. And for those of you that are listening in, Ava is also a host here on WBNN, and she has amazing content. So make sure you check her out whenever you dial back into the radio show. And Ava, if you're still here, when is your next show?
My next show is this coming week, actually. It's Wednesday night. So tune in because we're going to do some marketing stuff, and I'm really excited about the guest we have coming on. So if you know, in town on the radio Wednesday night, tune in to Ava's Casual Chat. And thank you again, Genesis. Your show was great tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for the support, Ava. So now I want to tune back in, y'all, because that was amazing. Ava mentioned that they're looking to do something else and, you know, building towards the future. So I want to start off by asking this question, y'all, and I want each one of you all to think about this question. Whenever you think about building momentum and building a future in marriage, what are some of the foundations that has helped you? And audience, I'm just going to put this out here. Know that not all relationship advice may work for you, but it could be a piece of it that you could take as feedback or a piece of treasure that you could take and build upon it based on your current situation and your dynamics. But I want to put this out there so you know, okay, this is something that has helped these long marriages. John and his wife have been married for 25 years. Tina and Jason have been married for 32 years. So obviously there is some time spent in the marriage game. And my husband and I have been married for 8 years. So definitely not on the far part of the spectrum, but I had a pillar foundation to look up to. My parents were married for 31 years, and it would have been longer, but my dad passed away suddenly in 2020. So my guest tonight, I'm going to start in reverse order here. And I'm going to start with Jason first. So Jason, what are some foundations for a new as well as a seasoned married couple?
What I always like to say, Genesis, is love isn't supposed to hurt, and it is not supposed to be difficult. If you find yourself in a difficult situation to love that person may not be for you. Kind of reminds me of Ava in her comment. When she found the right person to love, love wasn't difficult, and it made it easier. I mean, I just love that she sent a text and said, I love you. I mean, that in itself, that's what love is. That's what relationships is. That's how you flourish. That's how you build momentum. But if you're struggling every step of the way, saying that, you know, eventually we're going to be happy, it's going to be a hard struggle the whole time. So just kind of recognize love is not supposed to be hard and difficult. But, you know, people have put it out there that you're supposed to struggle, you're supposed to go through hard times. Well, we haven't gone through that many hard times. We dealt with the things that we need to deal with to get over some of the things that have come up in our marriage, but we faced them together. We were never at odds with each other. It was always us against the problem, and we never let the problem come between us and try to deal with the problem, because if you do that, then now you're fighting the problem and the other person because you don't really see eye to eye. And that's just my take. For most people, a lot of people feel that you need to go through a lot of stuff to have a successful marriage, and that's not the case. Love makes me feel wonderful. I love to love my wife. I love to love my family. I love to provide. And we can only continue to grow based on the love I have, because when I feel good, I can express love, not only to my wife, to my family, to my friends. I'm just a happy being all together. And that's what has elevated us to move to the next level. So if I love you and I respect you and I want the best for you, then think of the best things that to make our relationship better. And that's how we reach higher heights, not fighting. It's like once we get over this hump, we'll be better. No, we're going to get better, and that's what's going to take us to the next height.
I love that, love, a four-letter word, y'all. And I'm just going to add some commentary here. If you can love your pet, you know, beyond how you love a brother, a sister, a aunt, or an uncle, why can't you put in the same time and effort to love the person that you chose to say I do for, the person that you gave yourself to, the person that is supposed to be your rib, your flesh of your flesh, your bone of your bone? And where did the love break? Where did the communication stop? Where did it fade? And is that love so far gone that you feel like you can't rekindle that love? I want you to think about that, because love is a four-letter word, just like lust is a four-letter word. But are you lusting or are you loving? Are you loving or are you lusting? I want you to think about that. And I'm going to ask John this question, and then I'm going to ask Tina last, because she's our lady of the night. So, John, when you think about Ava's commentary and you think about, you know, relationship advice for a new married couple as well as a seasoned married couple, what are some foundation pillars that you would like to share?
Being able to communicate with each other in a way about what your future would look like as a married couple. And some of the things that, you know, Sarah and I talked about a lot when even early on, when we were just starting to date, we're like imagining what does the future look like? You know, does it include children? Does it include a house? Where is that house? And when I say house, I think I really more mean home, you know, not as much material things as like it was important to us to in both of our mind's eyes about what the future looked like. I think both of us had good modeling behavior from our parents. Both of our parents had been married a long time. Unlike Ava's situation, I thought her story was incredibly poignant because it is. The timing of when you come together is going to potentially alter what you both value coming into the relationship. My wife and I essentially grew up together, 24 and 21 when we were married. So we really grew together, and it was a wonderful way to be married. You kind of grow up together and you change so much, but we're changing together and really becoming one as we become fully formed humans together. So as a foundation, being able to share what you imagine a future together would look like, but have a shared vision, not I don't want kids and you do want kids. That's probably going to be a challenge. That's going to be a really tough thing to overcome. I will say real quickly here that my father passed away this past Wednesday. He was 81 years old and great guy, wonderful model as a father, wonderful model as a husband. He and my mom just celebrated in December their 60th anniversary. And they, on March 26th, my mom went into the hospital with pneumonia. On March 27th, my dad went into the hospital with pneumonia. And my mom found out she had stage 4 small cell lung cancer and had to start chemotherapy this past week on Tuesday. And she started her chemotherapy on Tuesday and lost her husband of 60 years on Wednesday. And the amount of love and caring that those two showed for a brief moment a week and a half ago when they were both in the hospital in adjoining rooms and my mom had to go get a biopsy and they wheeled her past my dad's room and they waved at each other. It could have been 60 years before. They were just as much in love then as they were. And as it turned out, they didn't have much time left together at that point. What they shared, it was unbelievable. I mean, it's been a tough couple of weeks.
And John, if I could jump in really quick here, and I want to offer you my condolences for the loss of your father and for all of the things that your family has gone through these past few weeks, because it's so hard, and I would be remiss if I didn't say anything. And I want to be respectful. We're going to jump back in, but we have two callers in queue. So we have caller three that's been waiting to get on the air to speak with us. So sure. I want to take caller three. So caller three, I want you to state your name and where you're calling in from.
Hi, it's Jerry Petito, sweetie. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hey, Jersey Jewel. How are you, Jerry?
I'm okay, sweetie. Listen, I just want to say something to your guests first. That story he just told about his parents is heartbreaking. And I want to say I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. It's kind of what happens. I think the thing that we all take from it, including my mom, who's now gotten through the first week of chemotherapy and everything, is just, that 60 years of love and marriage. What I was going to get to is that their vision was of a loving, caring family that was there for them, till death, did them part. And, that's about as good of a foundation as I can think of in terms of just having a shared set of values of what you think that's going to mean to be married.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. And give your mom a hug from me, please.
Thank you so much. She's a trooper. She's doing amazingly well. So thank you.
Good. Amazing tonight. And you always bring it, girl.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for calling in tonight and just, you know, sharing your words with the audience. Do you have anything for Jason and Tina that you would like to share before we jump to the next caller?
Well, you know, So I had two divorces. And my third mate, he was a childhood sweetheart. We got back together after all those years, and he died 12 years ago. So we haven't been with anyone after that, and that's my choice. But, you know, what I do want to say to everyone out there listening is be friends first. Be friends first, because that's when it really works. When you can fall in love with one of your best friends. So I'll leave you with that.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry. For those of you that are listening, Jerry is also a host here on WBNN, and she always brings it. She has a lot of accolades. I want to jump to caller four next. Caller four, you're on air live with Genesis Amars Kemp, the host, and my three guests, John Metz, Jason, and Tina Marie. Where are you calling in from? Caller four, are you there?
Hello, this is Mo Garman calling from Philadelphia. How are you?
I am doing well, Mo. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. This is a great show. Your guests are really wonderful. And I just wanted to express my condolences for, is it Jason?
That's John. John just lost
John,
his father
I apologize.
On Wednesday.
Yes, he lost his father. But it's a wonderful love story, though. It's a wonderful love story in that it shows the resilience of love, and that it just doesn't go away. And I also wanted to agree with Jerry about being friends first. I was married to a wonderful man. We were together for 10 years, married for 8, and he passed away in 2014. And we were friends. And I think that a lot of people miss that when they're getting into these relationships. We don't become friends. So you can't have that respect. We don't have the longevity. We don't have those traits. The patience, the trust, the forgiveness, the respect, the humility, the intimacy, all that comes around friendship.
Yeah.
I think that, and you can't have communication without any of those.
Yes, and thank you so much for sharing that, Mo. And y'all, Mo Garman is also a host here on WBNN. So thank you so much for calling in, and please tell the audience when your next show is, Mo.
Sure. My next show is going to be April 21st, right here on WBNN. Thank you so much, Genesis, and have a great evening.
My pleasure. You as well. So now we're going to dive into the firecracker, the saucy Miss Tina. Miss Tina, what are your foundational relationship advice or pillars for the audience tonight?
Well, there are so many. And first let me give my condolences to John. And then let me give a shout out to his parents who understood what it took to be married for 60 years and that love never dies. So shout out to your parents. And, you know, send your mom my blessings.
Thank you.
So the foundation, no problem. There are so many things, but I think friendship is the key, but also, our biggest thing that we must understand in relationships and in marriage is that accept the person for who they are, not who you want them to be. So many times we get in relationships and the person, we're not showing who we really are. And then when we do, the person, you know, we get into marriages and then we want to change. We want to change the person that our mate is. love them for who they are, respect them for who they are. That makes marriages go a long way. And one of the biggest, continue to work on yourself. It's very easy in relationships, and especially in marriage, and the longer that you're married, is to play the blame game, right? It's not my fault, it's their fault. I'm not unhappy because of me, I'm unhappy because of them. So to me, a good foundation is to remember to continue to work on ourselves. Elevation starts with you, and when you become the best version of yourself, you're able to share that with your mate. Right? And so you guys are able to grow together as the best versions of each other. So one of the biggest things with me is that I have to, you know, with Jason and I, you know, I would say that it's important for me to understand my weaknesses and his strengths, and for me to help him in his weaknesses as he helps me in my weaknesses, and then realize that our strength together makes us just that more powerful. So it's not a battle. It's not a battle who's the best, who's the strongest. It's when you and I are on the same team, we can move forward. An individual doesn't win. The team wins. So that's another foundation. And definitely being friends. Jason and I were friends for, and it's a funny story because Jason and I tell this a lot. Jason was in the friend zone for a very long time. And so
Way too long.
But actually, that was the best thing could have ever happened because we were friends first, and then our love blossomed. And even if you are married or in a relationship and you don't have that friendship, it can still be built. It can still – the best thing is to either have a friendship with your mate or to build a friendship with your mate too late. We have couples that marry at 21. We have couples that we coach that marry at 65. We have couples that marry at, you know, we've had one that married at 72. So love is always there. And when we are open to possibilities of love and not shutting ourselves off and making sure that we are expressing love, we can't love others until we love ourselves. And that's what a true foundation is. I'm going to love me for all of my faults and all of my greatnesses, and I'm going to love my mate for the same and not try to change them. So that's definitely a huge part in relationships.
Wow. And thank you so much for sharing that. That was just incredible because, yes, I definitely agree. You have to first know how to love yourself in order to give love as well as to receive love. And if you're coming from a broken place where you're not whole and complete, then you begin to project some of those insecurities and some of those broken pieces onto your mate, and you're expecting them to complete you when in actuality I believe that they're supposed to complement you and do life together. So thank you for sharing your version of those foundations and pillars, Tina. And now, before I forget, Ava wanted to show love to you, John. So she said to please accept her condolences, and her parents were in the hospital together too, which was crazy. And she said, this is for both panelists now, that they have been married for 7 years, yet they were together for 22. So 22 years and got married on the anniversary of the day they met. So also friends and then married too. So that goes to the sentiment that was said by both sides. And now we're going to go into our segment where it's the final thoughts from the guests tonight, and then we'll start to wind down the show. So John, we left off with you. What are your final thoughts about the arts of relationships, the ins, outs, and everything in between?
I would say I go back to the fundamentals that can help you with any relationship. I truly believe this, whether it's with your children, your spouse, your coworkers, your employees, your employer, your friends, if you are a willing listener, you will go a long way towards having better, more fulfilling relationships. And you know, I just think that's at the key of it. And then I think
you know, just be generous of spirit. That works. Both those things work really well in a marriage as well. You know, be generous of yourself and, you know, be willing to pull your weight in the relationship and be willing to lean on the other person when you need to.
Thank you so much for sharing that, John. Lean on me when I'm not strong. On that note, we're heading on over to Jason and Tina. What are your final thoughts for the arts of relationships, the ins, outs, and everything in between? Y'all know I like to have fun, and I'm not a singer, y'all, so I'm going to stick with my day job.
You know what? Neither am I, but I never got a chance to talk. I want to go back a couple of segments when we were talking about songs, and this wasn't in our wedding song, but this is the song to us that really says everything about marriage, and it's always and forever. And once that song comes on, you can't help but really fall in love. So that's my all-time favorite.
Sing a couple of tunes, Jason.
Oh, no.
Always and forever.
Genesis, keep your day job.
Yes, this moment is true. Sometimes.
Brother, feel free to chime in. I know you know that song.
John?
It's just like a dream to me that somehow
came true.
All right. I'm sure that the audience is saying, please.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the ultimate song for me. So love and respect. I'm big on love because I feel like love will get you through anything. And respect will too. Respect how you disagree. We're all going to have disagreements. But if we do it respectfully, we can get through it. I can respect your viewpoint. I can respect your upbringing because that plays a big part of how you relate to me and why you relate the way that you do. You have to respect that, and you have to respect the individual. So if things come up and we disagree, if I do it respectfully, we can disagree, but we can still continue to have love and to flourish. So if we keep those things at the forefront of love and respect, we can overcome everything. Like I said, love is not supposed to be difficult. You know, you go back to some of the guests that had called in, and when they got back together, it was like love. I'm good. We had our time together. It was almost like the perfect relationship. That's what love is supposed to feel like. You know, you got married before, things went, but when you found that right person, the person that you were supposed to be with, that your soul needed, he waters you, she waters you the way you needed to be watered, and when you guys come together, the time you have is something special. And you know it. Not forced, it just is. So love and respect will get you through just about anything that life will throw at you.
Thank you so much, Jason, for sharing that love and respect. And now we're going to be mindful of our time constraints tonight. Tina, do you have anything that you want to add to that quickly before we jump into Ngozi time?
Absolutely. To add with John when he said listening, I think listening to understand. So we're not just listening to listen, but we're listening to understand our partner. With Jason, love heals, love multiplies, love increases, and also respect. If I can respect the person that you are and I respect your viewpoint, knowing that we may disagree, but you respect my opinion, then therefore we really can come to a common ground to understand that we are two different individuals that have a common goal to make sure that we respect each other in our relationship so that we're not doing anything that could damage it. So that plays a huge part. And there are so many intricate parts to marriage and relationships. But if we're working together and we're striving to be one and be on one accord and be in alignment, not be in the same book, but both of us are on the same page, on the same sentence, and in the same line, then we have something to go forward with.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing that, listening, love, and respect, and just adding those. So now we're going to jump into Ngozi time, which is the time where our producer comes on and shares his take.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at a one-night stand. But I still need love, cause I'm just a man. These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave, will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear to see. But darling, no, it's not a good look and some self-control. Deep down I know this never works, but you can lay with me so it doesn't hurt. Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all I need.
And the song goes, every day, loving your own special way. You know, so I know the song, so shut up, Genesis. Anyway, I'm so glad to tell all the folks tonight, and then my commissioner will come on and do the business of Ngozi time. For the first time in this franchise's history since November 8th of 2021, congratulations to Genesis Amaris Kemp on her ninth WBNN All-Time Connection record tonight. Outstanding results. And now to our fifth reigning commissioner, the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla Jay.
All right. Awesome. Congratulations, Genesis. All right. I am so happy and so proud of you tonight. And to your guest. Wow. Amazing guest. To John, you definitely have my deepest, sincerest, most heartfelt condolences on the passing of your father. I lost my father November 19th, 2017, suddenly, unexpectedly. And yes, I am definitely keeping you in prayer and also your mom. And to Tina Marie, wow. Tina Marie was my favorite female vocalist. She still is, although she's no longer here, but she's still my favorite female vocalist. You and Jason amazing. And I loved all three of you tonight and the things you had to say about love, marriage, and relationships. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Keep doing what you're doing. And I am proud of you all as well for your successful marriages. All right. So I am Dr. Chinchilla J. Tune in Sunday nights for News Forum, where I am the host every Sunday night. And I speak a lot on wrongful convictions. Most of my guests are men and women that have been wrongfully incarcerated and others that have suffered with some type of criminal injustice or any type of injustice in America as far as that goes. And this month and next month we'll be featuring candidates that are running for office because the primaries are coming up, everybody. And in Philadelphia, the primary is May 16th, so make sure you get out and vote. Again, congratulations to you, Genesis. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Malewa Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Oladele Ngozi at my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewa Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Now, stay tuned for tomorrow night, where we're having our 2022 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee, Tara Strength, with the Know Your Rights program. That's tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, right here on WBNN, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. And I want to give a big shout-out to Caroline Turner. Today is her birthday, and I totally forgot yesterday on News Forum last night to wish her a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Caroline Turner, who's always on every Sunday, giving us the legal realm of things. So thank you so much. She's an attorney running for judge for the Court of Common Pleas Court in Philadelphia. Now, back to Genesis Amaris Kemp with Gems.
Thank you so much, Dr. Chinchilla J and Brother O. Thank you for coming on and gracing us with your lovely sound. Y'all, I'm just so grateful that my guest came in tonight to just really talk about, you know, the art of relationships with me, because it's truly the ins, outs, and everything else in between. And it is a topic that we must never stop talking about, because whether you're married or not married, you're always going to have some form of relationships in your life. But how you nurture those relationships, how you go through life, and how you deal with the various situations, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, will help you tackle the art of relationships, in my opinion. For those of you that don't know me, I am Genesis Amaris Kemp. I'm also a podcaster as well, so my show is called Gems with Genesis Amaris Kemp, and it can be found on 40-plus platforms, audio-based. Videos are on YouTube. Just go to Gems with Genesis Amaris Kemp. And both of my guests tonight, Jason and Tina Marie, as well as John Metz, are also podcast hosts, and they have phenomenal shows as well. So make sure you give them some digital currency and you check out the content, because we're all in this together. And I want to thank each one of the guests that called in tonight, as well as those of you that were just listening in via phone or the airwaves. Thank you for helping us make it to the level that we did tonight. You are not remiss, and I wish you nothing but the best of love, success, peace, and happiness throughout your relationships. And I'm just here for you. The guests are here for you, and let's not make this a one-time thing. Let's make this a continual conversation where we just pour in and love on one another. And John is just grateful for, you know, all the love that was poured in, condolences-wise. And Jason and Tina, like, the guests are just so grateful for just the knowledge and gems you all shared. And I truly believe each one of us has gems and has something amazing to add to this world. So my hope for everyone tonight that has tuned in is that you leave this world better than you found it. And each day you wake up, you don't take anything for granted. And kindness goes a long way. Your smile is contagious. Your voice can change the atmosphere, and you can be the game changer. So it's time for you to be uniquely you and extend grace and mercy and never stop believing in who you are and what you have to offer the world. I am Genesis Amaris Kemp, and this is WBNN, and we were live from Lagos. So thank you so much, and all of you have a blessed night. Thank you, Jason and Tina, and thank you, John, for sharing a holding space with us tonight. Be blessed and have a great night.
I met you in the dark. You lit me up. You made me feel as though I wasn't off. We danced the night around.